What's the one thing all great teams have in common?
Great coaching.
Try to suck up to me, everyone.
I'm Gordon Bombay, the new hockey coach.
All right, let's go! Line B, come on!
We're Team USA, gathered from all across America. And we're gonna stick together. You know why?
Because we are ducks, and ducks fly together.
It's the Quack Attack Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Hey, number 44, you play, you don't play so good. I'm Mike, that's Tommy.
Hello, everyone.
That's Kevin.
Hey, y'all.
Welcome to the Quack Attack Podcast, the definitive Mighty Ducks podcast. This is episode 199, but I'm calling it our episode 200 extravaganza because we have on the line Justin Wong, the man who played Kenny Wu. Justin, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, appreciate it. So, to start off, I like to go way back, and I like to get sort of the journey of everyone we really talk to, because they're all sort of different. So just sort of take us back and take us through how you got into acting and how you became Kenny Wu in D2 The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, man, yeah, that's a long time ago. But I think when I was about, I want to say maybe 6 or 7 years old, my mom just got me into like modeling or something like that. So I did like old Sears catalogs and stuff like that, just taking photos for that sort of stuff with like a bunch of other kids. And then eventually like just did a bunch of commercials growing up. And then throughout that, she put me into like acting classes with a lady who also had an agency, but I already had my own agent at the time, but it kind of came through the grapevine, through the acting class, that they were searching for actors for Mighty Ducks 2 in Vancouver, and I was about, I think, 12 years old. So then, of course, my mom calls the agent that I had, and then next thing you know, I'm sending a tape down to L.A., and then getting called for, like, what I've never even heard of before, because in Vancouver, I was just like going in for commercial auditions, a couple like Canadian television shows like that. And then they had something called a screen test. And I'm like, what's this screen test? And they send me down, they fly me down. I met all the old Ducks and we do a scene with the whole cast. And there's kind of like a small set built for it and everything. And then it's kind of weird because like every other new Duck, because like there's four new Ducks and D2, and then everybody else had other people auditioning for their part, but oddly, there was nobody else there for Kenny Wu. So I was like, okay, well, that sounds good, and that seems cool. I'd go home, and then I don't know how much longer later, but I get the call from my agent. She's like, you got the part? And then, like, I don't even know if I properly hung up the phone, but I just started jumping around the house and dancing and cheering. So that's pretty much how I became Kenny Wu.
Awesome, awesome. You mentioned commercials. Any sort of iconic commercials we can look up on YouTube and see a young Justin Wong in?
I don't know if they would be on YouTube. I don't even think anybody would have the ability to put those things on YouTube unless they found some old VCR tapes and managed to upload them. But I do know that I once, it was like the craziest thing, like, because most commercials, they pay you something like $1,000. It's maybe a buyout, but then all of a sudden I get this Blockbuster Video. Remember Blockbuster Video? Mm-hmm. And it was for the Super Bowl, I think. No, it was some sort of bowl. I don't know much about football, but it wasn't the Super Bowl. Otherwise, probably would have got paid way more and would have been more interesting. But it was for, because I believe the NFL has certain other bowls during the year, I guess. But it was for that, and that spot, like, gave me a huge amount of money for once, so I don't know, maybe that might be out there somewhere since it has something to do with the NFL.
Okay.
But yeah, it was for Blockbuster Video.
What were you doing in this commercial?
I think I just did a high five. It was literally like 2 seconds.
Fun fact, I actually worked at Blockbuster in college. Easiest job you might ever have. So if there's any Blockbusters still out there, go work for one.
I think there's one.
I highly doubt that.
Wow. All comes full circle here.
Yeah.
And so, Kenny, whenever I first, you know, watch the movie, I'm going to call you Ken the entire time.
That's all good.
Or, sorry, Mr. Wu. And so, when I first saw the movies, I thought, you know, Ken Wiwi's the best skater on the team. And so I figured, oh, the actor must be a really good skater too. And something we've kind of learned from the guests we've had on here is that no one knew how to skate really. Like, they all lied about their ability, particularly for the first one. So did you know how to skate beforehand? And I guess what was, how, when did you kind of figure out that the character you're going to be playing is like an Olympic level figure skater?
Yeah, well, first, I did find out just recently that everybody lied about their ability to play hockey.
Yeah.
And it actually delayed the shooting of the first movie, I think, by a couple of months, because they all showed up and all the producers and directors and writers thought that they could play, but then they found out that absolutely nobody could play. So they actually delayed filming, from what I was told, and put them through like 2 months of training camp. But I think I knew right from the beginning when I received a script to send down a tape to LA for the audition that Kenny Wu was an American Korean figure skater. And I started playing hockey myself at the age of 10. So I think by the time I started auditioning, I think I was 12. When I auditioned for the movie, I was 12. So yeah, I'd played hockey for some time already. So when I showed up, I was pretty much, I mean, the old Ducks were still fairly sturdy on their skates, like not that great. They didn't play after they finished filming the first movie, but like when it came to the new Ducks, they were all just pretty much sprawled on the ice trying to just get to the feet. Meanwhile, I'm skating circles around everybody. So it was a lot of fun in that regard.
Nice, nice. So were you familiar with the Mighty Ducks, the first Mighty Ducks movie at all?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think in Canada, like for my age at that time, which I should have been like about 10 or so, it was huge up here.
Okay. So yeah, I mean,
yeah,
what was the feeling like? Did you feel like a lot of pressure when you know it's like Mighty Ducks 2 and it's already become this big thing?
I don't think so. I think I was too young to understand that sort of pressure. I just kind of just went through it and enjoyed it all and didn't even really understand really what it meant and how it would change my life. I just knew that I get to meet a whole bunch of the old Mighty Ducks and Emilio Estevez, and that was just kind of all I looked forward to. So like when it came to think about how the impact that it would have on the fans and the whole franchise itself, that I didn't even think about any of that stuff.
And so when you meet all these, all these actors that you would kind of like said, oh, I can't wait to meet this person. Was there anyone that you immediately took a liking to? Was like, oh, this guy's awesome. Or is there anyone who was just like, oh, well, that guy's a dick. Like, don't meet your heroes.
No, nobody was a dick. Like, basically, I think I was pretty wide eyed, and also I'm generally a shy person. So when I see like Josh Jackson walk by, I'm like, oh, that's Charlie Conway. And then I see Fulton walk by and it's like, yeah, that's him. And then, yeah, they're all really nice guys and really welcoming, and they welcomed all the new Ducks right away. But I think when I first got there, I found myself hanging out with, I think Matt Doherty, so Averman,
mm-hmm.
and Sean Weiss, Goldberg, quite a bit. And also found myself kind of hanging around with Ty, the cowboy. And Mike Vitar a bit. So that was kind of the clique, kind of the group I hung out with. But like, you know, like we didn't stay in those cliques. We all kind of hung out with each other at all times. And I guess it's because it was mostly because Matt and Sean and Ty, they weren't from LA, and most of the filming for D2 was in LA. So other actors lived in LA, so they didn't stay in the apartment complex that they put us up in. So everybody that was from out of town, like Adam Banks, Vinny, and Julie, we all kind of got to know each other really well because we lived all in the same apartment complex and, you know, hung out at the pool and played in the rec center and stuff like that at the apartment building. So that kind of got us together with those people a little bit more, and then got to know everybody else on set a bit better as well.
Was there or is there a specific moment or anything that happened on set that you can recall when it kind of sank in and you felt like you were, you know, that you were a duck, that you kind of finally fit in or anything like that?
I don't know. Like, I don't remember that much of the actual filming, but my guess is that it would have been the first day of shooting and just kind of realizing, hey, this is the real deal. I am now on film and this will be somehow turned into a movie. And I don't even remember what that first scene would have been even. Like, it was just, yeah, it was just all so surreal and I wish I could remember more of it. But I think, yeah, it was probably most likely the first day. It's like, yeah, this is happening.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. It was only 25 years ago, so I mean, yeah, you gotta remember some of this stuff. Yeah, so you mentioned Averman hanging out with Matt Doherty and Sean Weiss, Averman and Goldberg, and we've had them on the pod, and they mentioned that they got in a little bit of trouble on set at times, just running around and doing stuff. Did you partake in any pranks or anything like that behind the scenes while you were waiting to shoot?
I think my involvement in most of that stuff would be like following the leader, and I don't remember too many pranks. I remember there was a little game that we play with, like, cause there's always, what do you call clothespins, just like a lot of the crew use them to just like keep notes on and stuff like that. And we would generally go around and like clip little notes on the back of people, you know, just saying like, you know, I'm stupid and stuff like that. And just because it's so easy, just tag on to people's shirts without people noticing. So I think I remember that as one of the things being a prank. In regards to pranks with each other, I'm trying to remember if we did anything crazy. I feel like, yeah, unfortunately my memory, I don't remember anything. Like, do you remember any of the stories that Matt and Sean told me?
No, I remember Matt was just saying that there was a duck wrangler. I think her name was Erica something. Yeah. That, like, he basically said that she earned whatever measly salary they were giving her because they were a problem on the set.
Yeah. Yeah, like, she was basically called the duck wrangler, but she was a production assistant. And she pretty much, like, she was the person that... the assistant director would call us, okay, we need Matt and whoever else for this scene. And then she would come find us in our dressing rooms or in the locker room or whatever and drag us out there and start working. But yeah, in regards to pranks, like, I don't remember any huge pranks or anything like that. But yeah, just little fun games here and there.
Yeah, so you mentioned you're from Canada, Vancouver, you live in Vancouver. I mean, just how did you feel being an Asian American Team USA player in the movie?
It was interesting. I think there was one scene that I think was cut out of the movie. I think we were, there was a few of the ducks yelling from like the, some sort of dorm room scene. We're yelling out. And of course the writer gave me the line, "Hey Canada, you suck," like that, yelling out to the Canada team. But that got cut out of the movie, unfortunately. But yeah, like I didn't care. I was like, the Team USA jerseys that they had were actually pretty awesome, and I thought for some reason that I took one home. But unfortunately, my mom told me the other day that I don't have it. But it would have been a great kind of a memorabilia type item to have. But yeah, I had no qualms of playing for Team USA for that moment in time.
Nice. And I presume that Ken Wu represented the USA in the Olympics, just in the backstory as well. So a long, rich history for you in the Team USA. So thank you for that. Now, obviously, Ken Wu was a figure skater. Did you know any figure skating? Was that you doing like the triple axel?
Absolutely not. In fact, I think the scene where they introduced the new ducks, like up until then, like I was just on hockey skates on that time, but my character for that scene actually showed up wearing figure skates. And I put them on. I'm like, okay. And I don't know if you skate yourself, but the biggest difference about hockey skating and figure skating is hockey is you get low, you lean forward. Mm-hmm. Figure skating, you're very upright and proper. And the reason why you're upright and proper, or I don't know if that's the reason why, but if you're not upright and proper in figure skating, those toe picks on the edge, you'll eat shit. Like, you will fall. Like, your toes will go straight into the ice, and you will just go head over heels. So I kind of did that once. It wasn't a terrible bail, but I figured out right away that I took off the skates. I went to the trainers. I'm like, you got to shave these things off. I can't skate with these unless you want smash teeth for Kenny Wu for the rest of the movie, you know?
That's awesome. Yeah, so I mean, it was just all a stunt devil. That's kind of disappointing, I guess, for me, and just trying to live through the moment. But I mean, the other big thing Kenny Wu is known for is being the third Bash brother and fighting. Did you pick up any like tips in terms of getting in hockey fights and scraps like that?
No, I don't think so. Like, generally, like playing minor hockey up in Canada, like, you generally don't get into fights. If you do, it's broken up pretty much right away, and it's like a serious suspension. It's not like the NHL where you get in a fight and you just sit in the box for 5 minutes. It's like you get in serious trouble if you fight as a minor hockey player. Mm-hmm. In Canada. So yeah, it like the movie stuff was pretty much, yeah, it was just for fun.
If you played it all after filming the movie, did you find that you had like a target on your back?
I always wondered that. Like, because I lived when I was a teenager, I lived in a suburb of Vancouver called Richmond. It's just like across the bridge. And I think because I knew so many friends within, like, I knew so many, like, a bunch of friends in Richmond, and I played for a team called Seafair Minor. And then I also had friends that played for Richmond Minor. So, like, the other Richmond team would know who I was, and they're like, oh, yeah, that's getting me. But yeah, no target per se, but you could hear the whispers like, oh, that's the Kenny Wu guy.
did you have any other Bash brothers on that team?
No. Well, I may have played it with a couple of bruisers and stuff like that, especially when I think it's when you're 14, you get into Bantam, and that's when they allow contact. And so, like, some of the bigger guys definitely would start throwing their weight around. But that's kind of like when I started getting out of hockey, because I kind of still stayed a little small while a lot of dudes got bigger and throwing their weight around. And, like, I was maybe, like, 115, where there's some, like, kids out there that are, like, 115 going after you, because they just said, okay, you're allowed to hit now. So they're like, okay. So it's kind of crazy when all of a sudden that's introduced to a bunch of kids for hockey. It's like, just imagine a bunch of like mid-teen testosterone filled boys getting told that they're allowed to be violent all of a sudden, and they start headhunting, even though the rule is like you can't hit anybody without the puck, but it gets a little rough out there. And then emotional, of course, when you get hit, and then get into little scrums, but no gloves come off. I mean, like, in minor hockey, you got to wear a cage anyway. So if you're punching bare fists, you're punching cage, you're going to hurt yourself more than you hurt the other guy. Yeah. But yeah, I played with a couple guys that like to throw their weight around, and it was fun to watch them.
Nice. So back to the Mighty Ducks here. Now, one of the probably most famous calls in the trilogy, woo, 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 Kenny Woo. Just what do you make of that, and sort of how it's become sort of just a line that everybody quotes at all times?
You know, I never realized how iconic that line was until we did the silver anniversary in Anaheim this year. Mm-hmm. Because pretty much we went to a film showing of the first Ducks movie, and we sat there and watched, and there was a questionnaire other after, and then one person just raised up their hand and just said, I just want to say woo, 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 Kenny Woo. And they didn't even ask me a question. And I was just like, okay, thanks. But yeah, like, I think like even as my friends growing up and stuff like that, they would mention it a couple times, and then I would hear it every so often. But it didn't really, like, all the famous kind of quotable lines throughout all the trilogy didn't really hit me until this year when we went for the anniversary in Anaheim, that so many people just knew these lines and would just yell them out for no reason other than the fact that they love the movie.
Yeah. So, I mean, you look a lot different now than when you were 12 years old, obviously. But so you didn't get that just, you know, walking down the street, that kind of stuff?
No, not anymore. Nobody will know. And I keep it pretty – I don't talk about it. So The work that I do now, nobody usually finds out until one of my coworkers that know mentions it to them. And then even then, when everybody knows, nobody really talks about it either. I think it's because I don't talk about it, so they don't talk about it. So it's just kind of – nobody recognizes me on the street. So yeah, I live a pretty private, pretty nice, relaxed private lifestyle because of it.
Justin, what kind of work are you in now?
I'm an audio engineer, actually. I do, mostly concerts, some corporates, that sort of thing. And then I ran a studio for a few years with my girlfriend, and we still have some studio clients that we take to other studios because owning and operating our own studio just became a little overwhelming budget wise, but yeah, I'm an audio technician.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So
you guys might know a little about doing podcasts and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, we're like,
when you listen to this, you'll realize very quickly that we don't know much about audio. Yeah.
It's just a lot of Googling and figuring stuff out by myself, pretty much.
What are you using to record? Just like GarageBand or something? Or do you have like Pro Tools or Logic or something?
No, we don't have it. We have this free thing called Crystal. And then three USB mics. That's not a good sign when you just break out laughing.
Yeah,
we're like very podcast, low rent here.
Podcast, that's all you need is a USB mic and something just to record one track and then just do some, I don't know, do you guys edit it or do you just run this straight through?
There's minor editing that goes on, but
yeah,
we probably should edit more, honestly.
Speaking of shoestring budgets.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe I can get some tips from you. That's a great point from you.
Most of my tips probably involve spending money.
Oh, okay. Well, we're making a little bit of money. We got a little ad money rolling in now, so
yeah.
We'll talk about it off air. So,
all right.
let's get back here. So, obviously, you do D2, and it's a big success and that kind of stuff. Was there any sort of inkling that you would be back for a third one?
The only kind of inkling that I would think of is that I don't know if they do this with most film studios, but when I signed for D2, you sign option contracts. So that means, actually, I'm not exactly too sure what it means, but it basically means that they could sign me for two more movies at that time. So when I signed the first for D2, that means if there's D3, they could just say you're in. And then if they do any other Disney movies that they would want an Asian actor, they could call on me, and then I would already have a contract with a whole bunch of stipulations that I know nothing really about, that I would pretty much already be signed to work with them, basically. So I guess that was kind of a hint that they might complete the movies into a trilogy, but until I got the call for the third one, that was kind of the only kind of inkling that I knew that there would be a third one.
Gotcha. So, what was sort of the reaction when, I assume, they call you and say, we're bringing you back and we're making a whole nother Mighty Ducks movie?
Yeah, I was ecstatic because, like, especially after doing D2, I was like, okay, well, now I get to not do nearly as much school. I get to go and hang out with all the Mighty Ducks guys again and stuff like that. We're all a little bit older. We all are into different things, get to kind of have like a work reunion, I guess, if you want to call it that. But yeah, I was really excited. And I think I was in grade 8 at the time. So like I left grade 8 a bit early and then got to tell all my friends back home. I was like, see you later. I'm off to do another movie. But yeah, I was glad. And then I was a little bit older. So I kind of knew like, okay, well, I'm getting a little bit more money here and get to save up for college and that sort of stuff. So I was a little happy about that, especially my parents. And yeah, I was definitely excited.
Had you stayed in touch with any of the other Ducks during that time, Stan?
No, not really. Basically, being up here in Vancouver and pretty much, I mean, like I tried acting for maybe, like I think I was 14 in D3. So then I tried acting maybe until I was about 16 or 17. But I personally, myself, I don't think of myself as a great actor. So, and I didn't really practice my art. I was just like told to go to an audition and show up and just read some lines. And I never really treated it as a profession. So then I just never really got any better. So I just kind of got out of acting. So I never wasn't really in the scene up here in Vancouver and not getting any parts that would lead me down to LA. So yeah, I didn't really talk to anybody up until like just randomly. I went to, my parents took me to Malaysia when I was 18 and then we stopped off in LA for a couple of days. And then I just somehow managed to get a hold of Sean and Keenan, Russ Tyler, and hung out with them for a few hours each. And then until then, didn't see them until the 25th anniversary, not of the Anaheim Ducks, but of the first movie, which was a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But between then, just no contact at all.
Wow. So you mentioned something, you know, Mighty Ducks helped you save for, like, did Mighty Ducks put you through college?
Yeah, I would say so, pretty much.
Nice.
I mean, I think my parents, like, because like I knew I was 12 years old, my parents used my money and put it into some sort of like a savings or something like that, so that when I'm turn 18 I can use it for college. And then I went overseas to Liverpool and that's where I took my audio engineering degree, so it pretty much paid for that and I don't have a student loan, so it's pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet. Yeah, I like how you milked it and went overseas. That was a great call.
Yeah. Oddly enough, because I had a girlfriend in Canada, I was like, no, I don't want to leave. But then my mom was like, you got to go. I was like, okay, yeah, I'll go.
She wasn't a big fan of the girlfriend?
Possibly, I don't know.
Right. So, I mean, you mentioned you acted till you were 17, maybe 18, and then you got out of the game. Just, I mean, when did you realize that you just didn't want to act and that you wanted to do something else?
I think it's probably when, I think it was probably when I was 18, like I started playing guitar and stuff. Not very well. I wrote some shitty songs and stuff like that and found like a 4-track machine, started recording my own music just for fun. And then that's kind of what led me into audio engineering school. So I took like 1 year out here before I transferred over to Liverpool. And then I think that's just kind of when I was like, this is what I want to do. And then that's kind of when I met musicians that were 100 times better than me. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll record the musicians more than trying to be the musician being recorded. So yeah, that's when I kind of found my true calling and I've been doing that ever since.
Wow. So, I mean, just how do you look back on, I guess, the relatively short stint compared to some of the other people we talked to on your acting career? How do you look back on your performances there in D2 and D3?
On my performances? Sometimes I cringe. I guess for most people seeing themselves like on television, they're like, oh my God, like, is that what I sound like? Is that what I look like? And like I said, I don't think myself as, you know, a great actor. Like Kenny Wu at 12 years old. It was just this cute Asian kid that could say anything and everybody would love him. 14 in D3, maybe the cute Asian kid's like in more of an awkward teenager, not as teenager and not as lovable. And then, but yeah, but looking back, I'm very proud of what I've done. Wouldn't trade it for the world. And because of it, I've had so many great experiences. Like I got to shake hands with like Wayne Gretzky and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Luke Robitaille. And just recently, like, got to meet a whole bunch of Anaheim Ducks. And that Silver Week was perfect for me because they're playing the Vancouver Canucks. So I got to meet like all the current Canucks. And then very recently, they invited me out to the NHL Awards. It was planned to do some sort of presentation with Keenan because he was hosting. But turns out everybody's schedule was booked, that I just went down by myself. And since I was down by myself, they're just like, you know what? Keenan doesn't really have time to write a whole skit. It's just, why don't you just come down and just have some fun? And then I got to meet, like, I don't know if you know much about the Vancouver Canucks, but yeah, we have this new all-star kid, Pettersson.
Yeah.
Elias, so I got Pettersson to meet him and talk to him for a few seconds. And then, as I said, I'm a little shy, so I just kind of gawked at like Joe Thornton and Burns and all those great players down there and stuff like that. So yeah, like, just because, I don't know if you want to go way back, my mom putting me in modeling when I was six, I've got to do so many things in my life that a lot of people probably rarely get the chance to.
Yeah.
Do you ever miss it?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm very happy leaving a private life for one part. I'm not saying that if I did.
Well, you're about to blow up now.
Yeah.
A very influential podcast.
Quick question.
But yeah, I don't miss it at all.
So you're at these NHL awards and you get to, you know, talk to some players. How did you like introduce yourself? Did you say, "Oh, I'm an actor," or like, "Oh, I'm from Vancouver. I'm a big fan. You know, just wanted to say hello, thank you." Or like, we just like, "Oh, I played Kenny Wu. You know, bow down to me."
Well, the only person that I actually got to have like a conversation with was Pettersson, and it's because the Canucks were at the Anaheim Silver Week that I met their media relations person. And I met him there, and he wrote an article about all of us, kind of all the Ducks kind of meeting the Canucks and that sort of thing. And the article is actually pretty interesting because at the end, like, I did tell his name is Derek Jory, and I told him, I was like, "Hey, you know, the reason why Kenny Wu is number 16 is because of Trevor Linden, who was the captain of the Canucks, like, in the 90s era." Mm-hmm. And so he kind of wrote a blurb about that. So then I saw him at the NHL Awards. He was kind of escorting Petey around. And I'm like, "Hey, Derek, how's it going?" And so then he introduced me to Petey, told me who I was. And, of course, Pettersson had – he was like, "Yeah, I think I watched D2 back in the day, but don't know much about it," because he's like, you know, 20-somewhat years younger than the movie – or younger than me. And then I don't know, 25 years younger than the movie. Yeah. The movie's older than him, basically. He was born after the movie, so he didn't really watch it. But then the only other hockey player that actually ended up shaking hands with was Crosby. And all I said is, "Hey, Crosby, I just want to shake your hand." And I didn't even tell him who I was. He was just probably like, "Who's this guy? What's he doing here?" Because I don't think any of the NHL players knew who I was, even though like people the age of Joe Thornton and them probably would have watched those movies. But I was just too shy to approach them.
They were probably too starstruck after seeing you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, there's talks about like a D4 or a TV series. I mean, I feel like we need you at least as a cameo. Would you be open to something like that?
Yeah, if the producer gives me a call and feels like they need the return of Kenny Wu for a cameo, I would definitely not turn it down.
Nice. All right, that's
on the record. There we go.
Yeah, that's what we needed to
know.
That's
the headline.
Yeah.
All right, so we have this thing called the Quack Question here. So people send in their questions. We put out a call for you and got quite a few different questions. So Kevin wants to ask you a few here, but we're going to take a short break, and then Kevin is going to come back with multiple Quack questions here.
Okay, cool.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We are back. Kevin.
Great ad.
That was a great ad. Kevin has multiple quack questions lined up. Kevin, what are the quack questions today?
Okay, so we've got a couple newcomers here. So I wanted to squeeze in three, hopefully. The first one is from All That and a Bag of Flicks, who's at Bag of Flicks on Twitter.
Interesting.
The question is, for that trash-talking scene you have with Russ Tyler, was that scripted or did you improvise your lines? Thanks. Woo, woo, woo.
I think... What did I say? I said, like, bite me at the end, right?
Yeah. He first was like, hey, like, number 23, whatever, you don't skate so good. And you, like, wink at him.
Yeah.
And then you're... Or at first you're like, hey, ref. And then it made you pick another target. But then you say, bite me at the end.
I kind of remember, like, because the reason why that whole scene was written is because me and the writer would have, like, a little bit of fun, and then, I don't know, sometimes when we're making fun of each other, my biggest go-to line was bite me at that time. So I think he just kind of took that and wrote it into the scene. So I think everything else in that scene was kind of, like, ad-libbed until that punchline at the end was bite me. So, yeah, I think it was a bit of an ad lib. I mean, like, I don't think I ventured too far. But, yeah, I would say it was some ad libbing.
All right. Nice. I guess a quick tack onto that. If you had to redo it, would you say something else besides bite me as a better insult?
No, I don't think so.
You keep it pretty PG.
The bite me was a punchline, and I think maybe if I changed that, the writer would be like, but I wrote that for you.
How's your trash talk game right now?
I would say it's probably pretty bad.
This actually ties into the second quack question. So this one's from John Hodge, who's at Highway Hodge on Twitter. How much do you still use the trash talking advice you received from Russ and D3? Do you regularly tell rivals in your workplace that they don't work real good?
Now that someone's brought it up, maybe I will, give it a try and see what happens.
That's what we like to hear.
Yeah.
I guess whenever you're, since you're in audio engineering, do you like hear something and you're just like, that sound quality fucking sucks? Do you just like immediately let someone know about it, like your underlings?
No, generally you learn as an engineer, audio engineer, that you don't talk about other people's work. Especially not to them, like maybe we'll talk about some stuff like, yeah, it doesn't sound very good out there, or it's too loud, or it's just not right. But yeah, other than that, you just kind of keep a tight lip, especially because I do a lot of house gigs and you're pretty much there just to help the touring techs and stuff like that. So you just kind of say at the end of the day, hey, good job, man.
Probably a good policy.
Yeah. Well, you're free to talk shit about our podcast sounding bad. So.
Right. Any publicity is good publicity.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So our final quack question comes from longtime Quackalite. I believe this is longtime Quackalite, Jared Beasley. He keeps changing his name. He's at jbeasley777 on Twitter now. His question is, what would you like to see Ken Wu doing in D4 or a TV series?
Oh, I don't know. It'd be interesting. I mean, I guess it'd be interesting to see if there's like another figure skating duck coming up through the ranks, I guess, a young figure skating duck, and Ken Wu would have to maybe either that teach him how to use his figure skating to his advantage, or, you know, the other side of Kenny Wu is teach maybe a smaller up and coming young duck to be another Bash brother, you know, how to stick up for themselves and fight a bit. Hmm.
I like that. I thought you were going to go with like the rivalry route, but
yeah, no, I like that. Like a undersized duck. And then he Ken Wu uses his experience to teach him the ways of
Steve Glutcher. Yeah, because Ken Wu is the smallest duck as well.
Yeah.
We'll pass that along.
Yeah, that's perfect. I like that a lot. I like that a lot. Real quick, now that we've brought up Ken Wu and his figure skating, do you think Ken Wu went back to figure skating after hockey, or was he just hockey all the way?
I would imagine it would be hockey all the way.
Okay. I'm glad we got that clarification, too. I think people wondered that for many years, for 2.5 decades now. So appreciate you taking the time to talk with us and answer our stupid questions. Anywhere you want to direct people? You got anything to promote?
I don't think so. Not really.
All right.
I mean, well, I don't know. I did have a band that I wrote music for when I was, I think maybe, I want to say 10 years ago. It's called The Patience Project. And it was like, it's a bunch of songs that I wrote about a breakup that I had with a girlfriend that I was going out with when I met in Liverpool. And so it was kind of angsty, kind of folky, kind of emo-y. I don't know. Hmm. It's just, it's not that great, basically, but it's out there.
If someone visits Vancouver, where are they most likely to hear your expertise at work?
I mostly do monitors, which is the on stage sound for the bands, but I'm at the Vogue Theater or the Imperial Theater.
All right.
There you go. Just a little tip for all you Vancouverites out there. All right. For us, thequackattack.com. Go there, contact us at QuackAttackPod on Twitter, facebook.com/QuackAttackPod. Go to iTunes, give us 5 stars. Tell us if you think Kenny Wu made the right decision in sticking with hockey over figure skating. Other than that, just share the pod with your friends. And remember, ducks fly together.
Ducks fly together.
Quack, quack. Ain't no turning back. It's got to be.